This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches, but there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars, because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Five, four, three, two, one.
I don't want no whips and chains, but you can set me up.
With your loving on me.
With your loving on me.
I'm white. Is that how it goes?
What?
The first, I'm vanilla, baby.
No, I'm a nigga, baby.
Is that what he said?
Jack Harlow said.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the No Chaser Podcast. I'm Tim Sean Thorongsu.
I'm Ricky Shucks.
I'm what? King Batch. Hey,
what's up?
I ain't eat today.
It's okay. It's okay.
Batch what came time
in.
Is it?
It is damn near. It is 2 p.m. past 2 p.m.
2 p.m.
Batch came in looking very hungry, very skinny, very unhealthy.
Hold on now. You can't put the rumors out like that. Off rip.
Batch looked like he's
just a little malnourished.
Been,
just a little bit.
This is crazy because I go to a bunch of podcasts and the intro is like, oh, he's done this. He's achieved this. This nigga called me anorexic.
Well, I know you. He's been on a 3-day bender. yes, as you said, we ain't got the hole for that shit. As you said, this man has been one of the, I feel like pioneers of the social media game, many would say, and you've been—
Ain't no way. When I came out here, I begged you to be in my video.
I mean, yeah. Look, we'll talk about it, bro.
Second wave.
Second wave. The Vine. Yeah. This man is you are Vine. And Vine is you, all right? Mm. And I love that you are one of the people who has been able to transcend the social media stigma, carry on and do real shit. You know, not that what we do, like, on the social medias and internet side isn't real, but, you know, Hollywood shit, on your screen type shit. And yeah, I've known you for a minute, bro. Make some noise for King Batch.
Yeah.
What's up, man? What's up? Go ahead and eat while we talk. I don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
For those of y'all who don't mind little chewing in your ear, that is for you. First of all, we got to touch on this real quick. He's been on No Chaser before, but it was during the pandemic. I understand, you know, people were mentally going through some things.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a weird episode.
You got Zoom Batch.
Yeah, I got Zoom Batch.
I'm like, what the hell we doing?
This motherfucker, and look, looking back on it now, now that I have officially been diagnosed with ADHD.
You officially got diagnosed?
Yes. Have you ever talked to anybody about that?
No.
So here's the thing, right?
I know I got it, though.
Okay, look.
Leave it.
Look. Now, look. I don't know if you guys watched that episode or not, but I've been rude on Zoom calls before on accident. You feel me?
I was rude the whole time?
It wasn't...
You was taking phone calls. You was eating salmon.
You took a...
Which one's my camera?
One of these, probably. You took a whole phone call.
I did not take no phone call.
You took a phone call,
though. And I took a phone call during the podcast.
During our podcast. And I was like, hey, man. I think that's when I was like, hey. So here's the thing. Yes. So afterwards, we were like, hey, what the fuck? So I'll tell you this, man. Before I got officially diagnosed with this shit, I've had situations in the past, and Rick can attest to this as well, where like we've had a meeting with people and I was doing some, like I was like cleaning the whole table. We was having a meeting with somebody. I had a Zoom call with the one of the people that helps do my taxes like a year and a half ago. And I was like not looking at her. She was talking to me about some important shit. I was all over the place. And I'm looking like now, literally right now, I just had the realization, oh, this fool just probably got ADHD.
I probably got that shit. Yeah, yeah.
You got A-S-S-H-O-L-E, nigga. That's
what's that? Asshole syndrome?
Probably
ADHD. I think I got the ADHD D-D-D-D thing. Because look, this is how I know. Because look, this is what I do now. My phone is permanently on Do Not Disturb. Permanently. That means I don't know if you text me, I don't know if you call me. Because anytime somebody texts me or call, anytime my phone busts, I do this. I say, who the hell is that?
Yeah.
So I have to put my phone permanently on Do Not Disturb.
Yeah.
Is that a symptom?
I mean, I'm easily distracted as well. I have ADHD and what they used to call, what's the other one where you get distracted easily?
Mentally ill.
Just ADD?
ADD.
ADD.
So ADD is, they also call, it's called ADHD unattentive now, all right? So the lady I spoke to said, you got ADHD and you got ADHD, the unattentive shit, which is basically ADD. Form of it, right? And I was like, oh, that's why that fool was being annoying that day.
Now, did you go to multiple sources?
It was a lady that
she qualified?
She's qualified. Some people will say, hey, get a second opinion. But
yeah,
everybody that I told in my life where I was like, yo, guess what? I got that shit. It was like, yeah. And so
we know.
But like, do you need to like, if you know, you know. Like, you should just tell me I got ADHD and I'll be like, I got it.
Yeah, it's that, but also, like, let's say I wanted to explore, like, medication for it. You know, that's where the verification comes in hand, you know?
Now, since you've been diagnosed, what are the benefits of having ADHD?
The benefits are I have an excuse for everything.
That ain't good.
Nah. Well, it is. The fact that I'm more aware of it, I have been trying to take more steps to not do the like the negative shit, because I do feel like there are aspects of it that like help me creatively, or when I get in my pocket of like, oh, okay, I'm really committed to finishing up this project, or when I get attached to something, I'm really like on it. But it's little shit where like Chia would get real mad at me because I would forget to flush my poop sometimes.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I ain't got that disease.
Okay, but look.
Whoa.
That's the attentive part.
Yeah,
maybe you don't have that.
How do you forget, though? Let's dive into that.
Because I will sit there and be shit. Well, are you someone who enjoys their shits, or you like, you get in, get out?
No, I take my time.
Me too.
But it's bad for you. You get hemorrhoids?
It can if you're pushing the whole time. Yeah, I like to relax and shit, you know, so.
You put me on game on the legs up there.
Yes, bro. You got a squatty
body?
Body.
Nah, I don't need to.
I did like twice.
But do you have the actual squatty potty?
No, I put the trash can.
Yeah, that's what I used to do. But the squatty potty is more comfortable for your feet.
Mm.
So
you do it every time?
Yeah.
You bidet too?
No, but I don't have an actual bidet in the house. But if I don't have time to shower, I get in the bathtub.
Like, damn, look at the ADD. What are we talking about?
Right. It doesn't matter. I get into like 2 inches of bath water and like just wash my ass real quick.
Right. Okay, so how do you forget to flush?
I'll tell you right now.
Mm-hmm.
So here's how it happens. It'd be days when I'm on other shit. So I'm sitting there, maybe I'm scrolling through my phone on Instagram, I'm taking a shit, I'm enjoying my shit. And then I'm like, and here's what happens, right? I wipe, and then before I, I'm always looking at my phone and shit. I wash my hands, and then before I flush, I like to put the seat down so the poo debris doesn't get all over the place, right?
It's a horrible surprise. Someone, if you didn't flush and they open it up.
Well, that's, I know, and it's mainly my wife that has to deal with it. So, and what happens is I'll close the lid because I'm gonna flush, but then I wash my hands, I check my
phone. Why do you close
again.
The lid then flush?
Because
why do you close the lid then wash your hands?
Because I've touched the toilet, because in my head I'm like, I'm touching the toilet, I wanna wash my hands.
But then you have to go back.
The flusher for.
But you have to go back to the flusher, though.
Yeah, that's true, huh?
Close the lid, flush, go to the sink. Problem solved.
Something happens in the process where I just, like, I forget. And then sometimes I'll be washing my hands and I just get the fuck out. You know what I'm saying? I think here's what happens, right? I wipe. I close the lid. I wet wipe. And then after I wet wipe, I'm like, I'm going to wash my hands. And by the time I wash my hands, I just forget. You feel me?
Hand washing is supposed to be the last step. So it triggers the brain to, I'm done.
Yeah. So I think that's what something
you
just messes up.
You gotta figure out a new process.
So so as a result now, because I Googled and there was a thing that said, oh, you know what? Yes, ADHD people, yeah, you can be very paranoid about keeping shit clean, but also because your mind's everywhere, you can accidentally leave a mess. You feel me? So now I'm way more focused on that shit. We contemplated putting a little like reminder, some type of sign or note or something to cue me, like, don't forget to flush this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Why don't you just, if you're gonna wash before flushing, just don't put the lid down. Because the lid is down to keep the spray away when flushing. So it being open while washing doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So you have a really strong toilet then, if you're worried about the spray from the flush.
They claim that's any toilet.
Right.
It's going to get the particles around there.
But you already got the particles in you. That water in your toilet's clean. It's just... Yeah, I drink toilet water sometimes on the weekends. I don't.
No. It's the water that comes when your shit's swirling around. They're saying sometimes poop particles get into the air and on your toothbrush and shit. Yeah.
How? Whoa.
Yeah.
They say if the lid is up when you flush, they say your poop particles are everywhere.
I saw that too, but I don't believe everything on the internet.
I mean, neither do I.
Yeah, you do.
That I believe.
Oh, I saw it on the TV, so that's different.
Yeah, that's different. Oh, yeah. It's on traditional space, then it's real. No, but yeah, you've been flushing your toilet open your whole life.
Yeah.
So you got shit in your mouth already.
Well, I did.
You eat ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still. So I say all that to say I try to be more just conscious of certain things I do. And I try not to, if I'm really trying to get work done, I'll try and put my phone down or turn it off or something like that. But, you know, little shit.
You ever try to do not disturb permanently?
No.
Try it?
I don't know, man.
It'll save your life. Save mine.
You don't do, like, business on your phone?
Yeah.
So how does that affect that?
Oh, so say I'm doing this podcast. My phone's not buzzing. It's probably getting text messages, call, whatever. I don't see nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll check it afterwards. That way I can give you my undivided attention. When we was doing that podcast,
yeah,
I didn't have it on Do Not Disturb.
You did not.
See? I'm a changed man.
Hey, I'm happy to have you here, man. I'm happy to have you in real life where we can keep your attention in this shit.
Taking the keys and shit.
yeah, let's talk about that, bro. In the very beginning, you were hitting us up for sketches and shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
what was that, 2012, 11?
Had to be.
12.
The first one I met you at was The Only Ones with Deshaun.
Oh, yeah. Deshaun Snow.
And
I just talked to him on the phone 2 days ago.
He was trying to have you pull up to the rap battle?
Yeah. Did you go?
I went.
Yeah. How was it?
It's fun.
It was great.
It's fun.
Nice.
Yeah. It was a good
you
time.
You was the only one out there, though?
The only one.
Oh, Spoken Reasons was there too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was on the phone with him and Spoken Reasons. We was talking for like 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, just about shit. Like industry shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cause Spoken Reasons, he don't live out here.
Yeah.
No more.
Yeah.
All right, but yeah, so what are you saying?
No, I was just saying, I think I even just recently talked about how when you were hitting us up for podcasting or for sketches in the beginning, we didn't know who you were, but it was like you would have like whole ass like productions. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, like a fucking school bus or a big ass warehouse and shit. And I remember thinking like, how does this motherfucker have money for this? Like, who is this man, right?
Mm-hmm. Drug dealer.
Maybe, potentially. And I know you're Jamaican-Canadian,
mm-hmm.
right? So I always used to think like, man, is this fool like the descendant of like Jamaican royalty or something? Like,
well, that was a rumor floating around.
Well, that is true.
Is it?
My mom's cousin was the first female prime minister of Jamaica.
Word.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But that don't mean we get money.
Yeah. I was like, oh, so my aunt's sister cousin.
Somebody said, no, he's a Jamaican prince. I was like, they got prince?
Damn, those are the rumors back then?
Yeah.
I love it.
They have that? What y'all talking about?
Any big dick rumors?
Nah.
Damn!
I've heard the opposite.
Damn!
No, I said them straight, though.
Okay, good.
My friend is packing a little bit.
But yeah, man, so I was going to ask you this. Like, when you first started... where did you get the money for that shit?
Now you're trying to dip into my pocket.
I mean, I hate to do that.
No, so I went to... Florida State University.
Okay.
Study finance.
Mm-hmm.
2008, I invested in the Apple stock.
Word?
Mm-hmm. And I think it was like I don't know, $70, $60. I can't remember what it was. Mm. But by the time it was 2012, 13, that thing shot up to like $400, $500, $600, something crazy like that.
Yeah.
So I made a lot of money from that.
Interesting.
And I took that money, moved out here, and started using it to make videos.
Hustling.
Yeah.
That's crazy because, well, that's, first of all, that's dope. I feel like
back then, I'm a genius.
Yeah, you know, pretty smart because I feel like back then you think like, why would I invest in an Apple or Nike or some big one? Like, what's it really going to do, right? Yeah. But then right. apparently it does do. Yeah. So that's dope. I remember thinking like when, I don't know who it was tagging us on Twitter. Maybe it was Deshaun when it was like, yeah, I got blah, 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 blah showing up this weekend to do a little sketch. I clicked on your shit. I remember like, he don't even have a professional looking picture. Who is this man? It was like a webcam photo. I was like, who is this for they got? It is. I was like, it's me. It's Deshaun. It's Smoker Reese. Who is this man?
Oh, you'll find out in a couple years. In a couple years, you're going to find out.
All right, man. Well, let's talk about then the Vine. You being one of the first people to really make it pop on Vine, right?
Well, first, let me just say thank you for like showing up to my videos back then.
Oh, yeah.
And doing that and killing it. Yeah, it was a lot of pressure because I watched all of y'all when I was like in college. I think I even seen you in high school when I was in high school. You were making videos for a while, right?
Yeah. It's like 06.
So that was when I graduated high school. So like Daystorm was the number one black man on YouTube. So these were the titles I knew.
Okay.
Daystorm, number one black man on YouTube. I hadn't seen his videos before. Mm. Spoken Reasons, I seen his videos before because of World Star. Mm-hmm. I seen your videos before. Mm-hmm. So out of everybody that was there, I've only seen yours and Spoken Reasons. Mm. So you were like my Will Smith. I don't know. Like who's
that works.
You know what I mean? Like you were
the shoot out you.
No, you were my oh shit, that's him.
Oh, thanks.
You know what I mean? Like starstruck. Like oh shit, I know who this guy is, yeah. You know? So it was dope to get you in there. I was just, you know, kid from Florida trying to make it, trying to hustle. I was like, let me just not fuck it up.
That's crazy, man. What part of Florida?
Palm Beach.
Oh.
The hood, my boy, what's up?
Okay, interesting. Maybe that's where you get that crazy energy, man. That Florida man's energy.
Yeah.
What was Florida. Really dope about those times, though, was it was cool that you were clearly putting money into the shit. Mm-hmm. It was production. You had cameos from certain people who were doing shit like that. But you were just good. Because it was other people who had money. And we're doing productions and the shit was whack. And they would hit you up like, hey, come be in this video and send you links to their high-produced whack shit.
Right.
But if you would have stripped all that shit down and it was just the skit, it was good.
Right.
So I think that's why everybody was like, yeah, we fuck with this dude.
I think here's why I was down to pull up for additional skits after the Only Ones, right? Because Only Ones I pulled up, you know, because of Deshaun, right? Mm-hmm. And then there was a part of the skit where someone says, you weird. And you said, you weird. And that shit made me laugh.
I said that?
However you said, I was like, that was funny. And I was like, okay, this was funny, right? Like, we fucked this guy, right?
Oh, shit. That's cool.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, because it's like, Florida is an interesting place. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So a lot of my comedy or whatever comes from, that's not who I am as a person, but it's a lot of the people that I've encountered. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I'm just imitating people that I've met in my life. Mm-hmm, and there's so many, it's wild shit. I had guns pointed in my face by friends, by people I don't even know. You know what I mean? Like, Florida's just, it's not safe.
Oh, so the Florida man's is really Florida man's in out there.
Yeah, Florida is not, it's not a safe place. There's parts that are safe.
Mm-hmm.
Where my family lives now is pretty safe, but.
Where they at? No, I'm just playing. I mean, look, I've always said I prefer Disneyland to Disney World.
So true. Very true.
I think that's dope that you're able to make it happen. And I always tell people, like, in the beginning, when you started going hard on the Vines, I remember thinking, I probably even talked to Rick about it, like, man, why is Batch wasting time, wasting all his good ideas on these fucking Vines, dog? He got good shit. Why?
And then here you go, a couple months later, with your booty cheeks out in a window.
Life is a highway. and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're gonna love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Yeah, you think I forgot?
What'd I do?
You
I
had your booty cheeks out in a window.
On Vine?
Yeah, on Vine.
Did I do that?
Yeah, you was like starfish. You had your boot. You was naked. Probably. With your booty cheeks
that
out.
That was the thing I used to do just on the internet. Yeah.
Really?
Just in the window. I mean, I used to just post pictures on Instagram with my, like, where I would be like just with my ass towards the camera and just at the in windows that had a
booty. I remember like, what is this man?
You got views though. Got a million views. I said,
did
okay.
It? I don't even remember. I didn't know how to Vine. You know what I'm saying? I never really truly understood Vine. I couldn't get my brain to function that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then when you started going hard and it started paying off, I was like, oh shit, this man was onto something.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so what made you feel like, you know, I'm gonna go hard on Vine and see what happens? Like,
I ain't had nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. You was already established. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. It's like now if like I got 20 million followers on TikTok, they come out with another app. And it's like people are, you know, getting, you know, views on there. Mm-hmm. I'm not immediately going to go over.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait till that shit starts popping. But mm-hmm. by then, it's probably too late. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's how I saw it. It's like, I had nothing to lose. It was Vine. Let me just do this shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think also, you know, what's funny is when I see you in Netflix shit, right? You know, we kind of come from a time where... there was like a stigma surrounding people that came from social media online shit, where it's like when you go to audition for some real shit, they be like, internet people.
Right.
And I've had this conversation before. I hate to keep gassing you up, God, but whenever people like will see you on something, I always tell them, I'm like, nah, Batch isn't just there because he got numbers. Like, Batch is actually like, he books these auditions because he can do the shit. You know what I'm saying? I've always felt like, for a long time, I was bad at auditioning.
Right, right.
It took me a while to get good at, like, because it's a whole thing unto itself, like, how to audition properly.
Yeah.
And I would always leave auditions like, oh, man, I fucked that up. That was not good. But when the self-tapes came along, I was like, all right, cool. Let me knock this shit out of my room a little bit, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, props to you for being able to really... get in there and book shit and be in all like the Netflix movies all the time, guy.
But yeah, and you know, once it's like YouTube. Like once you get to that level, it's like YouTube. It's like once you do one movie and it's like, oh, this guy's good. Mm-hmm. Well, just put him in another thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like it's the same thing. So you just need to kill it one time and then you're really good.
I auditioned for one of your movies that you had on Netflix.
Me?
Mine? Yeah, it was the money one.
Oh, where's the money?
Yeah.
Bro, what character?
Your best friend?
Oh, Ally Maldonado.
I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you come close?
I don't know.
Shit. I guess not.
I ain't hear nothing about it, so probably no. Probably not.
I didn't get a, you want to see, hey, you on the list.
So right, right. Yeah.
He's like, I know him in real life. We friends for real.
I try to do that. I think it was it was an audition for Nora from Queens, Awkwafina's show, Comedy mm-hmm. Central show.
Yeah.
And she had a best friend character, right? And I'm like, who the fuck else could play this shit? I texted her. I'm like, hey, you know, just so you know, I auditioned for your show. She's like, oh, dope, blah, 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 right? And then, of course, my dumb ass was like, who else could play Awkwafina's best Asian friend, her real life Asian friend, fucking dumbfounded. Yeah. I was like, oh God, this fool.
And he got it? He booked it?
Yeah, he booked it. God damn it.
That's funny.
You ever got any? I just did an episode on No Chaser where I was talking about this like trash. Well, I don't want to say trash, but it's a not good movie that I was in.
You already said trash.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Double down.
It's not great.
Stick with it.
It's not. Well, you look. I don't want to call it trash because, you know,
Hollywood.
It was good people working on that movie.
Right. Okay.
We had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I met some great performers and it was a great team putting it together.
Mm-hmm.
But the shit, it's not good. All right.
let me ask what made it not good?
Personally, I feel like a lot of the scenes of like the different side characters could have been way shorter. It's a lot of shit that kind of drags on that's like not funny. A lot of like B stories and C stories that just, I was like, ugh, this shit could just all be cut, bro. Like these should have just been little snippets. Extra DVD snippets, you feel me? Editing's a little funny. A lot of the acting's a very meh from some parts. It's a tough watch, you feel me? I tried to put it on the other night. I was like, oh, God.
You being around the bush, I need you to be on your Cat Williams. Ricky Smiley can't act because Ricky Smiley can't act. Come on, speak the truth, hey, brother.
I get nothing from talking shit about struggling actors. That does nothing for me, dog.
Game,
but I was going to ask you, you know, you've been in a lot of movies now. Are there any that you look back on and you're like, oh, yeah, man.
Oh, I can't say that.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't do that.
I'm in this shit for real. Yeah, right? Yeah. Podcast, boy.
Not podcast,
I was
boy.
Just telling him, I was like, how come you ain't just hopped on the bandwagon and got a podcast yet, dog?
I'm going to start my podcast. But it's yeah, there has been some movies where I thought like, oh shit, great cast, great environment, great director, and it just doesn't come together well. And it's not always the director's fault,
mm-hmm.
the producer's fault, the writer's fault. There's this project that you have to turn in, and it has to meet certain qualifications, mm-hmm. whether it be 90 minutes, whether it be whatever, and whether they have the budget or not. But if you have the budget, you're able to do the test screenings. And when you do the test screenings, that's where you get the real information.
Mm-hmm. See what jokes land and shit like that.
Exactly. And that's why I get cast in a lot of movies, because my characters always test high. A lot of people don't even know that on the business side.
Mm-hmm.
It's about your character. Mm-hmm. When people show the movies, do you know about this?
Like, no.
Okay, so say you have a movie, right? Make up a name.
Jim Waterford.
What the fuck? You got a better name?
Oh, for a movie?
Yeah, for a movie.
Oh, okay, my bad. Jim Waterford the man.
This motherfucker. All right.
Jim Waterford goes to town.
Yeah, so Jim Waterford goes to town, right? Starring Timothy Delegato and Ricky Shucks. Wait, how you say your real last name now?
Chantharongsu.
Why'd you do that?
Because
that's like Santa Claus changing his shit to Saint Nick.
Well, no, but then you know who it is, though. That's what I'm saying.
But I can't pronounce it for 5 years.
But you will.
How do I say it?
Chantharongsu.
Chantharongsu.
See? Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Chantharongsu.
It's just like that every time.
Anyway, starring Ricky Shucks and Timothy Delegato.
Yeah.
Now, now you put the movie in,
mm-hmm.
and it's the first time the director's made his cut. Now, the director's cut, if it gets a 70% from the people that view it in the movie, so they send it to a movie theater, the AMC right here in Studio City, whatever. They send it to that, and they'll have regular people go. They'll hand out flyers and pamphlets. Hey, we got a new movie starring Tim and Ricky that hasn't come out yet. Would you like to go see it?
Mm-hmm.
They'll go see it, and they'll have a survey at the end of it.
Mm.
Now, based on the survey, it'll say, what would you rate this movie on a scale of 1 to 10? Who was your favorite character? Who was your worst character? What was the favorite scene? What was the least favorite scene? All these questions. And they answer these all questions. And it comes out and they have a score. Now, if your movie gets 70% or higher, it's considered like, yeah, it's a good movie.
Okay.
If it gets 80, or that means it's like less work. So say your movie gets like a 60%, right? So now you know your movie needs work to do. You look in deep at the surveys, and they'll say, this is your worst character, this is your best character, this is your worst scene, this is your best scene. Now, you'll hear a lot of people say, oh man, I did this movie and my character was cut out.
Yeah.
It's not the director doing that. It's not the producers doing that. It's the test screenings. That means your character didn't test well.
Interesting.
And they're cutting you out the movie. Now, the same will go for the scenes. Someone's scene, a whole scene will get cut out, and it may have a great performance in there, but an audience member, the majority of audience members are saying that this scene made this movie drag on. Mm. So that feeling you had where you're like, oh, these characters, it didn't need to be all that, mm-hmm. that may be because your movie didn't do a test screening.
Right.
So the more your budget for the movie, the more test screenings you're allowed to have. Mm-hmm. So if it's like a Marvel movie or whatever, they have a bunch of test screenings.
Right.
And you don't get all your information from one test screen. You do your test screening, then directors go, they take their notes, they see what they want to take, what they want to edit, what they don't want to edit. And then after that, they shrink it down, they go back again, they do another test screening. And then hopefully it's a higher rating, and sometimes it may be lower.
That makes sense.
So that's the whole process behind it. So oftentimes when you see a movie and like, yo, this is trash, A, it's probably low budget. They didn't have a budget to do the test screening process. Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. Makes sense. I mean, you can't just show it to the homies. The homies going to tell you it's amazing.
Yeah. Remember those times where it would be like just some random fucking rich dude who put a movie together mm-hmm. and you get an invite from like a homegirl.
Yeah.
To just come. Yeah, we're having a little thing in the hills. And next thing you know, you're sitting there watching a rough cut of some random dude's fucking movie. and he's asking you all type of questions afterwards. Like,
yeah.
I
was in another, a movie like that. And afterwards, what's good was at the screening. And he came up to me. I was like, well, Sauce, what you think, right? And knowing what he's going to say, he was like, you were good.
Damn.
I was like, thank you, man. I know.
Yeah. And they didn't have a budget to do a re-edit?
It definitely was very low budget. Nah, they didn't have a budget for that. Nah.
Yeah. That's the problem. It's like, I got two movies that I'm doing this year, and I hope we got a budget for a test screener. I'm directing one, and I'm acting in one.
Oh, that's lit, man. I was just thinking that. Yeah, like, oh, so I've been saying for a minute now, I'm trying to write this movie. I'm about, like, a quarter of the way done, right? Mm-hmm. But how about you, bro? Like, I know, you know, I mean, like we said, from the time we met you, you were doing these sketches, you know? Mm-hmm. You trying to write a movie right now? Like, what's going on? Have you ever thought about that?
No, I don't like writing.
You don't like writing?
Uh-uh.
Why not? Yeah.
I don't know. It takes too long.
I mean, yeah.
I write the YouTube videos, the all that. That's fun. That's fine. But writing a whole movie,
Yeah, it's a lot.
I'd rather come up with the idea. I'm an idea man.
I feel that.
Come up with the idea, give it to a writer who's spent their whole life mm-hmm. studying the ins and the outs mm-hmm. of it, and have them come back with a structured script rather than me sit there for how long you been writing your script?
A long time.
How long you think?
Well, I mean, it's tough to say, though, because if we want to look at the time I actually sat down and tried to write, it's different than the...
No, from then, the time you actually try to sit down and write it.
No, I'm saying it's different than me saying, yo, I'm trying to write this movie, and like me actually sitting down in front of a laptop and trying to write, you feel me?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. Isn't it bullshit to have to question where your food comes from? At Vital Farms, you can trace your pasture-raised eggs all the way back to the source, the pasture. On the side of each pasture-raised carton of eggs, you'll find the name of the farm where your eggs were laid. And when you look the farm up on their website, you'll get a peek at all the sunshine, fresh air, and open space the hens enjoy. Learn more and find out where to buy them at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit free.
No, but when did you come up with the idea?
Like, I don't know, a year ago?
Yeah, see? Not fun.
No.
But what you can do, and I believe in this, it's the progress of it, is you have your idea, have your agency or whoever link you up with the writer and say, hey, this is the idea.
No, I don't want to do that.
Why not?
I really want to say I wrote this shit.
Then your ego is stupid.
I know, but
you gotta get rid of your ego.
No, here's where
that's your biggest threat is no, yourself.
I mean, that's facts and that's true. But also, I know that because I'm getting in my own way a lot of times. Because I know I can do this shit. That's why I want to do this shit. So yeah. It's like, mm-hmm. And after I watched the Straight Outta Compton, that part where like fucking Ice Cube, where they show Ice Cube just being like, just writing Friday. I'm like, I can do that, man. I want to do this shit. So I'm trying. I really just want to do it. After I get at least one under my belt where I felt like, okay, this was all me, then I'm like, yeah, let's work with another writer. Let's bring in ChatGPT. Let's fucking figure it out.
Do not bring in ChatGPT.
I don't have an ego issue, but I'd rather write than have somebody else write it, only because I don't like to read. So I don't want to have to read your fucking 300-page script
right.
to tell you what I like and don't like, and then do it again when you come back with a new draft. I'd rather write the shit and then have somebody else tell me, this ain't funny, this is funny.
You're going to be in my table read, though.
Table read is different. Just sitting down. Yeah. Nah, I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So I'm working on it, you know, trying to figure that out. Still auditioning and shit, too. But, you know, just, you know.
Well, I'm just telling you, if you want to, like, you know, to the
you want
top,
it to be good.
Get rid of that ego. You climb to the top. You'll see it. That's what I did.
You want to skip the mediocre shit and, you know, get over the ego. And, you know, well, you know, we'll see what's up, bro.
That's what I did. I created a proof of concept that I loved. I showed it to, you know, this production company. They loved it. They was like, oh, shit, we want to make it. They was like, what's the idea of it? And I've been pitching movies and TV shows since 2000, whatever. Like, me and Jordan Peele, we sold a show together. And I just see how much bullshit goes into it where it doesn't get made, right? So I'm like, the reason why a lot of this stuff isn't getting made is because of egos. You know what I mean? Like, and I got to the point where I was like, I put my stuff aside and I learned all this. So once he asked, he's like, so where do you see this movie going? I said, where do you see it going? That's where I see it going. I don't give a fuck. Yeah,
that's so funny.
Yeah, I said, this is just what I made. And then he was like, okay, yeah. Well, I'm down. How much money you need for it? I said, how much money you think I need for it? Because that's what we need for it. Yeah. And then we got the movie. We got the money. And we hired a writer. His name is Greg Russo. He wrote the script. He wrote Mortal Kombat. He wrote the script. Movie's called Miles Rider. It's action. And now we're
Miles Rider goes to town.
Oh my gosh.
let me see your name attached to something. Goes to town.
Goes to town. and then now it's the process of interviewing directors. A lot of people ask, why don't you just direct it? I put my ego aside. I ain't want to do nothing. I want to get the best of the best to do it.
Yeah.
That way I'm set up to win. That's what I would suggest.
No.
You know?
No, I'm all for it. I'm all for it after I get
after you get your first one in 5 years. Got it.
Yes.
Look, I've been put on as a creator of a show that I had nothing to do with. Everybody I knew, they shot a sizzle years before, and it looked legit. They had no script. They had nothing. And I was just around certain things, and it was like, you might be able to pitch this to more people than I can. We'll put you on as a creator and just go out there. So yeah, them egos be gone after a while of like, all right, this shit ain't working.
Yeah.
Who you talking to right now?
Yeah. And here's the thing too. Look, after I get this shit written, like, yeah, it's going to be like my first little baby, whatever. But like you said, if I'm in the room, I'm 100%. I got no integrity with this shit. Like, how much are you giving me? How much you want to change? Fuck it, take it. Let's just make sure it's good.
Now, let me ask you this question. You finished writing, and I'm playing devil's advocate. I don't even know what that means. I just hear people say it all the time. Devil's advocate.
I'm playing devil's advocate.
I'm playing Satan.
I'm playing Lil Nas X.
Yeah, let me just play Lil Nas X for this. So, you finished this script. You spent... just say 2 years. What page number are you on right now?
29.
Oh my gosh. Okay. You spent 4 years on this script. It's just crazy. A year and he's on the page. All right.
Well,
so
a year from the concept. Yeah.
He didn't start writing right. very recently.
Yeah.
All right. So you on page that. So it takes, let's say 3 years. I'll give you benefit of the doubt. 3 years. How old are you now? Let's just say 22. All right. So you 25. And you finish the script, you go to pitch it to the producers, and this process is going to take you another year or 2 years.
I believe that.
Yeah. Right? So you 25, 26, 27. So you're 27 years old now, and you out with this script, and they finally gave you the green light So they say, okay, we like this script. We're buying this script from you. Mm. Now they got to find a director. Mm-hmm. They got to find producing partners, whatever. They got to find all these people. Mm-hmm. And that's going to take a year. So you're 28.
All right.
And then you film the movie, right? Mm-hmm. You film the movie and it comes out a year later. You're 29. Mm-hmm. So you're 29 years old and you did all that. Mm-hmm. Now, you could do all of that and cut and be all of that at 25 years old to 26. You could do all of that if you put your ego aside. That's what I'm saying.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but I gotta write this shit.
Man. Okay.
But here's the thing, too. In my head, also, I'm writing something that I could get done with a shoestring budget. So I kind of low-key want to just write it.
Oh, and shoot it.
And shoot it.
Oh, okay. Well, then you good.
I might just even fucking hand it to my agent for like, hey, look, man, when it's like the season of motherfuckers is looking at screenplays, be like, take this, see what you can do for a couple months. Mm-hmm. If no one bites, I'ma just take some money and do it.
No one's gonna bite, but here's the thing. If you believe in yourself, that's all that matters. There's always that one couple of people that the dreams do come true. Mm-hmm. Like 100 people will have this same thing, and out of those 100, let's say 20 people get that in a beat, and out of the 20 people that get it made, 5 of them will be successful, and those out of that 5, there's one of those is Jordan Peele. You know what I mean? Like out of that.
Yeah.
Jordan Peele was writing Get Out, he told me, for 8 years. Mm-hmm. He was writing that, and it paid off. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you're willing to sit through it and go against those odds, then by all means do it. But I've been doing it for, I'd say 12, 13 years now. Mm-hmm. And this is a knowledge that I've gained from wasting my time for like 10 years.
Look, at this point, here's the beauty of being a YouTuber for damn near 17 years,
yeah,
I got my house, I got my family, I'm cool, yeah, chilling. Yeah. So it's like I want to do this shit, mm-hmm. You know.
It's not make or break.
It's not make or break. And also, Tubi.
Oh, Tubi will pick it up tomorrow.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I could for sure make some shit now.
Tubi be like, I mean, you don't really need a script. You know what you want to do with it? Yeah, just get in front of the camera, man.
Yeah, man.
Do your thing.
Look, we could get some shit done that looks 10%, 100% better than a lot of shit that's already on Tubi. So it's right. Like, look, man, if I want to get it done, I could get it done. You know what I'm saying? I just want to get it done.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah,
well, if you go to Tubi route, I would just like to request to have a bad death in it. That's my favorite thing about a Tubi movie.
With the continuity don't match?
Yeah.
Bro, I mean, here's what's funny is I would also love to just like make a movie Tubi level on purpose.
Yeah, specifically Tubi.
Yeah, just a really bad.
That's hard though. Movie. That'll be hard.
We'll see, man. Or like a really corny Hallmark movie. Ah, oh, I would love to. that's great. Well, what's up? What you working on, man? What can you tell us about this thing you're directing?
That's crazy. You just sounded like Shannon Sharp. Whoa. Why would you say that, Kat? No, I'm doing that action movie, the one I made a proof of concept for.
Oh, you still swollen shit?
Yeah, I still got my thing happening. And then I'm directing a horror film this year, mm-hmm. Like a little horror comedy. And I'm on stand-up tour.
How's that going?
It's good. I'm doing my tour. I'm doing Joe Coy's tour. I'm doing all of it.
Hey, look, man. You getting good at the stand-up, bro.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I appreciate that you put in the work.
Got to.
Yes.
Everything you do, you got to put in the work.
Because, look, I feel like it's almost a new wave for the social media comedian is to try their hand at stand-up, right? And look, I'm even going to sprinkle in, try a couple little mic nights, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, for you, I've seen you really put in the work. And as someone who was always like a fan of stand-up and really respected the art form, I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, thank you.
I like seeing you like progressing this shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's tight.
Yeah, it's been fun. A lot of hard nights grinding it out, mm-hmm. I perform in hotel lobbies, TJ Fridays, like
what?
In the
really?
Back. My phone ringing, ADD. But this is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Only the people that know my phone's on Do Not Disturb, they call twice, or my girlfriend, or my sister.
Oh, you got a girl.
I gotta call you back. The bomb squad on the highway.
Oh.
Oh, I can't. I'm in the podcast right now, and they already got me on this for the last podcast.
Yes, we sure the fuck did.
All right, I gotta go. Bye.
We are filming right
that
now.
That was not scripted. So for anybody who didn't believe me when I said it the first time, it's what this nigga does, man.
No, but you got your emergency contacts. You just got to pick. I got this rule. It's like,
if it rings on Do Not Disturb, it might be an emergency.
Yeah.
I get it.
You know what's crazy is, when if someone was to call me and their first sentence was, "Can you check Twitter?" I'm like, "What the? Am I canceled? What happened?" I'm like, "Oh, it's just a bomb. Whatever." You got me thinking I was canceled.
Girl, don't get blown up. Talk to me later.
What were we talking about?
The stand-up struggles.
Oh yeah, the stand, like yeah, performing in hotel lobbies, TGI Fridays, just doing all that. I didn't know. Like, I didn't know where I was going with the stand-up. I did it because I liked it.
I
started in 2010, and I just kept at it. I started opening for Joe Coy in 2014 or 15.
Shout out to Joe. He's had a rough week, but, you know, hey, shout out to Joe Coy, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so, me and Matt Rife were opening for him in 2015, and we just been doing it for years. And then, you know, now we're at the level that we're at now. Joe's doing arenas, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. And fuck, Matt's doing arenas.
Yeah, Matt's doing arenas too.
That's crazy.
Everybody doing arenas except me. Now, I'll get there. Listen, here's the thing. In life, there's these waves.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And as long as you keep your eye on the prize and don't get distracted and put your ego aside, you will make it. And that's what which camera am I? This right here. Kids at home, do what you gotta do. Put that ego aside.
Hey, look, I got my eyes on the prize first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And the prize is a script that I wrote.
The prize is stroking my own ego.
Yes, there's that too. Look. Rick's known me most of my whole life. He knows that my ego has kind of always been there.
Mm-hmm.
But he also.
But that's a good thing about, that's your character.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's seen me trust my ego in ways that have succeeded for me. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I, you know what I'm saying? I know how to, well, Rick is there to check my ego, actually. That's what Rick's there for.
And the reason why I don't say too much is because if it doesn't pan out, mm-hmm. it's not like the end of the world to him.
Right.
All right, on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, all right, do your thing, dog.
Yeah, you had one line back in the day. I don't know if you remember it.
Mm.
You said, I never fuck up unless I'm on the bottom.
Did
you remember that lyric?
As a bar?
Yeah.
Really? I might have said that in like a YouTube cipher, like a freestyler.
Yeah. No, this is, yeah, this is 2000, like 10. This is like before I even moved out to LA.
Yeah, yeah. I think
2009, something like that.
That makes sense. You know what's crazy is that line was inspired by my high school drama teacher, Mr. Carlin. And Carlin, who always was like, always believed in me, put me on and shit. Rest in peace, Mr. Carlin. He said he was doing stand-up and he had a heckler one night. And he told some guy, yeah, that's why you only have sex from the bottom because you only know how to fuck up. So yeah, that was all Mr. Carlin right there.
What's Carlin's first name?
Sean.
Oh, okay. I thought
not George.
He just gonna slip that in. Yeah. I was like, everything was that. He said, "Rest in peace." I'm like, "What's Carlin? We talking about?"
That would be crazy. Well, shit, man. Hey, thanks for you know, actually being present this time. Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, it's not on Zoom.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. You know, good luck with the ADHD and with the with everything you're working on, man. You know, I fucked with you from when you were broke, bro. So.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, not broke, just not known.
Well, yeah, broken followers.
And you know, thanks for pulling up, man. You know, I'm always a supporter,
thanks, man.
I fuck with you, and I appreciate your time. And hey, man, you know, look, I will always tell people that in the world where people try to discredit people that come from like social media, internet shit, I'll always be like, yo, Batch is fucking talented. He puts in work and he's where he's at for a reason, all
right? Right, right, right.
And it's the muscles.
Yeah, so. Definitely the muscles.
All right, y'all. Thank you for watching and listening to another episode of the No Chaser Podcast. Make sure you like, comment, share, subscribe, all that bullshit. Thank you, King Bash, for pulling up.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I realized? I've been doing a lot of research. Like, subscribe, comment, don't do nothing no more. Did you know that?
Especially I don't have any new viewers, so it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't add anything to what I'm doing.
There was something that you're supposed to do. The notification.
The bell.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't work either anymore. It's literally telling them, if you like this podcast,
share it.
No, not even
what
share it.
What then?
Can I finish? Or is your ego going to take over?
No, that's the ADHD.
Oh, the ADHD. If you like this video, watch this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you keep them on your channel. Yeah, you keep them on your channel, feed the algorithm. Because what happens is the notification, that bell, it only goes to, it goes to your phone, but most people have their push notifications off. Do you have your YouTube notifications on?
Only for when people reply to my comments, so I know they're talking shit.
Yeah, so most people, they say, don't have their notifications go to their phone because they're subscribed to so many people.
Makes sense.
So yeah, just tell them to, I mean, don't listen to
me. All right, y'all, watch another video. Yeah. Watch
don't
last
leave.
Week's.
Don't leave YouTube. Stay on YouTube, please.
Yeah, do that. Thank you for watching, y'all. I'm Tim Chantharongsu.
I'm Ricky Shucks.
Bye.
King Batch. Damn, I ain't get no outro?
You're not supposed to.
Hey, damn.
You wasn't supposed to get an intro.